The world can seem upside down at times, which has set me on a journey in search for love, truth, and ultimately personal freedom. I'm on a mission to help people find peace and healing so that each of us as individuals and ultimately the collective can be free from whatever keeps us stuck and skews our view of just how beautiful this life can be. Welcome to the Lucas Mack Show. Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to another episode of the Lucas Mack Show. I am Lucas Mack, and thank you for joining me. Guys, this episode that you're about to listen or watch really blessed me big time. Jennifer Watson is back for the third time on the show, and I've had two great earlier episodes with her throughout the years, but this episode in particular, she was on fire. I mean, really so profound, so articulate, and so powerful. And I tell her at the end, I felt like this podcast was specifically for me, specifically for what I'm going through, my wife and her health journey. But I also know that this podcast is for so many of you out there. Be encouraged. Take heart. There is hope, no matter how dark and gut-wrenchingly devastating it feels for whatever you're going through. There's hope. And Jennifer explains why and how there's hope in this episode. So my dear sister, Jennifer, you powerful force, you, thank you for coming on, and everyone enjoy. Well, brothers and sisters, like I said, I'm so honored and excited to have Jennifer Watson back on the podcast. I think now for the third time,
this
is a charm. I'm glad we've arrived, and it's such a pleasure to have you on and always good to see you. And I love your authenticity and your warmth and your really unabashed self that you bring to the world. You're dancing and all the fun that you are. So welcome back. It's good to see you.
It's so good to see you, Lucas. It's always a joy to be in your world and your energy. I always say, you know, my energy gets fed off the people that I get blessed with all the time. And God is so good, and he always blesses me with amazing people like you. In fact, I get to pour into your community is always an absolute honor. And yes, through the charm, we got to rock and roll on this one, my friend.
I love it. So why don't we, just as a recap, your background, and you've been a physical therapist, you've had your own practice, and now you're doing incredible things outside of that world. But share a little bit of your background for those who have not yet caught those first two episodes with you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I started out probably with my high performance kind of claim to fame being actually a pretty high profile athlete. I was a two-time All-American in track and field at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Lucas. And that's really where I began to understand what overall wellness was, but also leadership. I was a captain. So from an early age, I learned the whole idea of overall wellness, leadership, how to balance, you know, work, sport, and play, and productivity, and in performance, and getting up when you're feeling crummy, and then face plant, then you get back up. I mean, there's so much I learned during that time as a student athlete. But how I stepped into physical therapy school after becoming a student athlete is I suffered from pretty debilitating depression. You know, I was the typical smile, two-time All-American, had the friends, good grades, but I was really tanking mentally, emotionally. And again, that's when I started realizing, wow, this is more than just me going to a doctor for a knee injury. Like, there's more to health than just physical. And toward my journey of healing myself and finding modalities to literally heal my brain and help me regulate my emotions and move through that is when I started going to myself, wow, when I get out of PT school, I want to develop a practice that looks at people as a whole integratively, not just all systems of the body, but the mind, the body, the soul of that system as well. So a few years I managed at a clinic, get some business kind of experience in, because we don't have that in medical school or PT school. You guys know business, any type of experience there. So I managed for a few years, but ultimately stepped in to my own brick and mortar physical therapy practice. And I had the honor to work on high-level athletes, to those with stage four cancer, to women's health issues, to military with PTSD and everything in between. And we were just discussing, honestly, Lucas, I felt like I was coaching even during that time because we were working on the mind, the body, and the soul. But once I kind of got this calling from God that I needed to move out of that space, that he wanted me to be speaking and touching more lives at an accelerated rate, he moved me into the coaching consulting space, probably like around 2019. And I slowly started transitioning out of PT and my business there into coaching consulting. And it started out as mental, emotional, physical wellness, but go figure. I drew in a lot of high performers and small to mid-sized business leaders that were like, hey, can you help us in these businesses to help really support our mental health? It's affecting our job and our work. Yeah. And ultimately they wanted to see me to kind of support them in the leadership role. I've grown teams through adversity and change and challenge. My first PT practice was in the crash of 2008. So I've navigated building a team and making a team really be highly productive and high performing, no matter the environment, and still love each other in the process. So I kind of combined the wellness leadership dance for the coaching consulting I do now for small to mid-sized businesses. And yes, I love to speak. I'm like you, Lucas, and I spend a lot of my time now in the last couple of years speaking in a variety of environments, from small to big stages to masterminds to sometimes teams and workshops. Then my real, honestly, if I had to really go down to the core of my messages, even if I speak a little bit in different ways and different facilities and different environments, it's this. I truly believe people can heal not just their physical body, their mental body, their emotional body, and shift into a higher state of being no matter the environment. And I have an opportunity to speak on that in conferences and around business leaders to really learn how to do that and create what I call healthy high performance and not burnout and exhaustion and hating life and team disengagement. So I filter my keynotes accordingly, and I have a lot of expertise in many areas of wellness and leadership, but where I really have the fun and where I see the biggest domino and where I see people get most inspired is understanding they can shift mind and body into a higher state, no matter what's being thrown at them, and be high performing in something they love and still be happy doing it. You know, what's the point of having $6 million, seven figures, whatever it is, if you're not happy, if you're not engaged and enjoy and actually enjoying your life outside of work? So that's kind of me in a 3 to 4 minute nutshell. I really had this awesome kind of, I don't know, just carousel of all these different things God has allowed me to just use my gifts to serve. And it's been really fun to kind of go through that and just be humbled by who God has put in my path to support those areas. And I'm in high speaking season right now. I love to podcast. I love to pour into people like that. And I know Lucas can agree. There's something about speaking that I find transforms people around me, but also deeply fills my cup. So I love to give my knowledge in that capacity. And it's truly not about me, but it's about God using a gift through me to see people really make changes. And I truly believe they can. And at the end of the day, I've had, a lot of quote external successes, air quotes, everybody. But I would say my greatest success was actually healing my brain, actually moving into a space of power where I literally want to take my life, everyone. I was at that point. So if I can do it, we hear this all the time, you can do it too. But it does require tools, help, support to get there. And if I could be that tool as a speaker and the things I get to do, amen, my friend.
Amazing. It's amazing. You know, I remember now when you said you were an All-American, but I have not read it. It's so impressive that you've taken that drive and it's now used to help people and better people's lives, which is really amazing.
Thank you so much. I've been, like I said, I say it all the time. And when I get on podcasts and people ask my journey, I know it comes out different. We all know that, Lucas, like every time of what kind of you feel drawn to speak about, but I'm really blessed. Like I get a chance to like go through my life. Like, wow, I've really experienced life. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm at this point, Lucas, and I will say that where, you know, I feel like Job in the Bible, you could take everything from me. Like I literally am at this point, I don't care, my car, my job, you know, whatever. Like I'm at this point, I'm like, I still have me in the gifts in me, in the calling God has in me, and I could start over again. And that's such a great feeling, because how many of us are in such fear in this day and age of our jobs or losing them or our health? And
Yes.
I'm just at this point that I have so much knowledge, I have so much support around me. I'm like, I'm at this point, I'm like, I'm not afraid of stuff like that. Like, take it all, and I still have this. And I think it's allowing me to be a lot more authentic, connected to people, because I don't care about all the fluff. By the way, you guys, I like nice cars. I like good houses. I like a good little suit to wear on you know, the speaker stage. But what I'm saying is, I mean, all that is just extra bonus. But when I have these conversations, like, oh, that's the goods. That's what fills my cup. And I hope you guys feel that too. And if you don't, that you find ways to navigate to that space. Because I believe when you're feeling good here, nothing can stop you. Nothing can actually hurt you. So that's, I would say, I just feel I'm more connected to Job. I used to hate that book in the Bible. It's like such a book of like 50 chapters of my, and I'm like, okay, I finally get it. Like, after I've lived enough in life, I'm like, I finally get it.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. You know, you mentioned what's going on in the world, or, you know, people might have some fear and angst. I mean, so much is going on in the world. The world, I said this on a recent podcast, that at any day, today's headline, yesterday's headline would have been 10, 15 years ago, the biggest headline for months on end.
Yes.
And now it's just another day. I mean, things are so crazy. What are you, just from your observation of working with your clients, and how do you think people are handling it right now? Do people have hope? Are they fearful? Do they not know?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, the people that I hang around, you know, definitely probably, and you guys, I don't mean this in like a cheesy way, definitely probably have more of a positive outlook, kind of looking at the silver lining of things and just perspective, because there is always abundance somewhere. I'm going to say that again, you guys, even now, I mean, listen, in the depression, there were millionaires, you know, in 2020, there are people that were very vitally healthy and expanded their business. So I want everybody to know, even in the darkest of times, no matter how you're looking at it, if you look at history, you don't have to trust me. It is physics, by the way, everyone, that abundance can happen during what we consider destitute times, but it's in history. So you don't have to take my word for it, but it's actually physics that often, if we know, this is why I love to teach all this. I just did a keynote on this past weekend, how to shift the chemistry in our mind and body to see at least some type of abundance, even a slight abundance, and then use tools to get your brain, body on board. You can find abundance out there. It doesn't mean, everybody, that you're necessarily going to make, you know, 7 figures tomorrow. It doesn't, but it may mean that you feel more healthier than you ever have felt, that maybe you found a job that you love, even if it's not 7 figures, but it's actually can take care of your family. Yeah, there is abundance out there. In answer to your original question, because I would say the people I'm drawn around, we are aware that there is a lot of junk going on economically, politically, other countries. Like, we're in some ways, I honestly would say we're probably in World War III. We just don't really, we don't engage the way we did back in the Civil War days, you guys. And like you said, I mean, our massive technology and how much information we take in compared to Laura Ingalls Wilder, like, it's a completely different world.
Right.
And I'm not trying to, you know, be, you know, overly triggering here for everyone, but I would say, you know, when we look at history, what wars were, we're kind of in that right now.
Yep, I
so
agree.
We keep, I guess for all of you that are a little bit worried and like, oh my gosh, I want to go to war, and like, just kind of be like, we're kind of there, and I'm going to do my best to know there's abundance here. So the people I hang out with definitely see the evil that's going on, the discernment we need to have in so many areas of our life, including not only the people we hang around, the things we watch. You guys, watch how much you're on your phone, that we can go into that. But the more we can create healthy boundaries and connect with people that see this objectively, but also can see the silver lining in ways to create abundance, not only by changing the chemistry here internally, but innovation, masterminding of ways we can kind of move through this in a powerful way, is the answer. So yes, I see it every day. I'm surrounded by people that aren't necessarily in my inner group that I can feel that fear, but where I can, Lucas, and having conversations like this, I'm going to tell you all right now, there is potential for abundance in your life, whatever it is that you're, quote, afraid of because of what's going on, reach out to people like us, reach out to people that maybe have done it right now that are doing pretty well, and find out from them, latch on to people that are getting it, everyone, because you can hold on to the coattails of these people and figure it out too. We all have the opportunity for that. And research shows that our brain and body, by the way, love challenge. If we know how to cultivate it, I'm doing a whole second TEDx, you guys. The news is out next month. And it's all about mastering the chemistry of resilience that I believe we do it in an unhealthy way right now, out of fear and push and grind and push down the emotions and not deal with the fear instead of navigating it and letting the body and the brain digest it and then move into solutions, move into creative ideas to get you into bigger abundance. And I'm like some kind of letting the cat out of the bag, but I actually truly believe if you get a healthier perspective, a healthier resilience, a healthier connection to an environment to create healthier resilience and get the brain and body on board, there's a chemistry behind that, you guys, during hard times, but it actually likes challenges. You just have to maneuver it to rise during challenge versus huddle in. There's things you have to restore and regulate and move through. So we can probably go through some of that tonight, but at the end of the day, just know this, our body actually desires challenges once in a while. You get around the right people, you learn how the brain body chemistry works, and you can be like the person that you're like, how are they being abundant right now? How are they happy right now? How are they peaceful right now? You guys, they're not just sticking their head in the sand. They're getting what we're talking about, even if it's not quite the way I'm talking about it. So for all of you that are feeling fear, I want you to know I hear you. I empathize. You know, I've been in the monks list as well, just like Lucas, and I've been through my own stuff, you know, where I, you know, financially, emotionally, you know, I talked about tanking, you know, my life, like been down those roads. And I'm telling you, there's answers. There's answers. There's answers. Get around the right people, listen to podcasts like this so we can give you guys tools so you can shift into seeing that. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's always going to be another decade that's worse than ours. Until he comes back. And I actually believe that. How many of us have said every generation, this generation is worse than the last generation? We hear this all the time. And yes, things are getting worse maybe at an accelerated rate with technology, but there's always been good. And there's always been evil in the world, everyone. And all humans have had to use tools to navigate it. And I believe you can, and not just stay above water, but actually excel and rise during these times. And actually, I believe as a believer myself, I believe that God is calling me to rise right now, more than just hang above water. That's what I feel he's put on my heart. So I have no choice but to take on that responsibility that I feel he's calling me and other believers to rise and show that there can be abundance in a world that is a little cray cray right now.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Just having hope. I think what you're sharing so much is hope. The resilience is tied to hope. Without hope, the heart's sick. And I think one of the messages that people need to just hold on to and let soak in is that there's always hope.
There's
always hope. No matter how dark it is, dawn will come, and darkness bows before the dawn. That's one of the messages I got, is darkness, as soon as the sun decides to rise, darkness bows in honor. And its job is to usher us into really knowing light. So we can't lose hope right now.
You know, and I love that, because when you lean into hope, and even I'll say this to all of you out there, if you don't have the hope, if you don't have the belief, grab someone that can believe it for you for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
It's contagious. And I'm telling you guys, when you have hope, just a little bit of it, you guys, fear bows. It will bow at your feet.
Yes.
It truly will bow. And you might see then a divine door. The divine door might be a practitioner to help with your mental health. The divine door might be a friend that has a friend that has an opening for a job that's perfect for you and you just lost yours. A divine door might be, you know, you meeting someone that, you know, is going to help accelerate your life just in general, because they just are a high vibe person. You haven't had a lot of those people in your life. Those are divine doors, everyone. When you have hope, I believe God will rise and answer. You know, we can speak about the chemistry, about the science behind this, but science and spirit are all in one and the same.
Yeah.
And hope is high, high frequency, you guys. It causes our creative zone to get creative and look for opportunities that are aligned with hope. That's why divine doors open, you guys. And when I say divine doors, it's not always going to be like the price is right behind, you know, those 7 figures.
Yeah,
it could be. I will
right.
say it can be. I truly believe miracles still happen in this day and age. I don't think they're probably quite as common as they were in the Bible day, but I absolutely believe in miracles.
Right.
But I will say at least in this day and age, there are 100% divine doors.
Right.
We have to be willing to just take a little bit of the hope, a
right.
little bit of of help from someone, a little bit of shift in our behavior, a little shift in our mindset that maybe I won't scroll through my phone tonight. Maybe instead I'll step into calling a friend. Like stuff like that, you guys. But I'm going to say, whether you believe in God, creator, universe, I believe in our heavenly father, he's going to ask you to meet him halfway. That's what the faith is. Like, here's
yeah.
the hope, but meet me halfway. I remember when I begged, when I was on my knees, Lucas, when I was literally, it's either what the kitchen or the bathroom floor, where I was like, God, you have got to take this pain away from me. You guys, I had been through other physical injuries and having mental health issues. I literally wanted to die. I was like, cut off my leg. I mean, I was that at that point, like to amputate something, I don't even care. But heal this. And I remember hearing God say, I've given you a divine door and I'm not going to miracleize it overnight. I'm going to have you step through it and then find someone else, then find someone else. And I'm like, why? And guess what?
Wow.
This is why.
Wow.
I get to speak on stages and deal with and connect with people that have lost hope, whether they're leaders that just feel like they have the money, but they're tanking mentally, or whether someone is just losing their relationship with their family. It doesn't matter. I'm like, you guys, I have tools because I've done the path.
Yeah.
That was my divine door. So maybe it wasn't a miracle overnight, but God gave me the tools to learn the science, to connect with the spirituality. Like, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today. I'm like, I get it now, God. I get it. I mean, how many people would not have an opportunity to heal themselves if I wouldn't have gone through that, you guys?
Right.
So perspective is huge. We hear this, you guys, but again, I get it. You know, find someone that believes it for you. Find someone that maybe has a tool that can help shift you just a hair. It doesn't have to be a lot. Have enough hope or faith of like a shot glass.
Yeah.
That's all that it takes. And you have integrity in that shot glass because you believe in that shot glass every day. Then all of a sudden it grows into a cup. Then and it just creates the momentum. You guys, this life is just crazy. But if you can understand there's all these opportunities, like, you know, it's interesting, Lucas. I don't know why, but I feel like I just want to download this story to you. And I haven't shared this story. I haven't shared this story with a lot of people, but I remember when I was feeling a lot of severe depression and my parents were coming for Thanksgiving to my house. This was years ago, like 10, 12 years ago. And my stepdad was close to the end of his life. He was very close to me. He was like a second father. And they were coming for well, it was the last Thanksgiving to my house. And so I was a little stressed. I wanted to make it perfect. And my stepdad texted me. He's like, hey, you forgot something for Thanksgiving meal tomorrow. Can you stop by, you know, when you're on your way from work, like Wednesday night, and grab that? We're at your house. I'm like, sure. So I stopped by Wednesday night at the grocery store. And we all know Thanksgiving, like Wednesday
right.
night, it's like chaos there, right?
Right.
And I was stressed about it being perfect. And I was having depression at the time, but I wanted my stepdad to be okay. So I was having, you know, these moments, and I get in there and it's busy. And I'm like, okay. And I remember going through the aisles and trying to find what my stepdad, my papa, I called him, wanted. And I saw this gentleman out of the corner of my eye, elderly, he was probably in his 80s. And he looked like he was searching for something, but he couldn't find it. And I'm like, and I've always loved older people, elderly. So I went up to him, like, you know, sir, can I help you? And he looked at me with this sparkle in his eyes. And he's just like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to find the pumpkin pie filling. My wife wanted me to come by the store and I can't find it. I need a couple of them. I'm like, oh, well, I think it's in the next aisle. You want to follow me? And he's like, sure. And he just kept having this like smile and sparkle. And we got to the other aisle and it was on the bottom shelf. And I got the two for them. For him. And I just smiled. I'm like, is there anything else I can get for you? And he just smiled. And he's like, no. I'm like, and it was kind of bizarre, but kind of cool. And I was like, okay. And I start to turn and go away. And he says, everything will be okay. And I turned around and I'm like, and I was like, you know, maybe he's just, you know, like, oh, you know, thank you. I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving. And he just kind of kept smiling. And I turned away again and I heard him say, "You are enough." I turned around. I was like, I'm sorry. He's like, "I just want you to know you are enough." And I'm like, thank you. You know, thank you. I appreciate that. And I
That's
turned
beautiful.
around. 5 seconds. I'm like, and I was gonna go to the other island. I'm like, that's weird. Like, who is this guy? Like, I turned around. He was gone. Gone. I was like, where did this old man go? I started running up and down aisles. I started looking from the cash register. I couldn't find this guy anywhere. Like, he was moving. Like, so it's like, what just happened? I got into my car and you know, I left the things there. I just got in my car and I called my mom. Like, "Mom, you're not gonna believe this. I think I just met my guardian angel." She's like, and my, you know, my just like, "Oh my gosh, tell me more. What happened?" And I got home and I haven't shared that story ever on a podcast. I've shared with my friends and I get emotional about it because you guys, that's what I mean. Like, you know, it wasn't 2008 crash at the time, it was in 2020, but I was dealing with a lot of junk. And I just felt so underwater. And at the time, I was performing and I was having an epic clinic and I had a house and a car and I was tanking so bad. And my dad was dying. And I just felt so anxious. And here was this guy, this angel, that said this to me. And I give that to all of you, that you can understand that there is a divine being that is there. You know, I can give you some tools tonight. I can give you some science. I can give you ways to shift your brain and body. But if you if only get that there is a divine being that is absolutely here that hears you. And if you're willing to just look up from your phone, look up from your pain for 5 seconds, you might see someone that comes to you like this. Or you might see a time that you get to be able to help support someone else that could change their life, you guys. I mean, it literally can happen. That's what I mean by divine doors, everyone. And it could be something big, like a guardian angel. It could be winning a lot of money, or it could be something small. But at the end of the day, that to me was so comforting, knowing, okay, God is not forgetting. He's got me. He's showing me the way. It was such a beautiful experience. And I believe all of us have our archangels moving around us every day. If we're willing to take a deep breath, be present, be mindful, use your tools. You don't have them. Find people that do. Find people that believe for you. Find people that hope for you. And at the end of the day, just know you, there's something out there. I call him God, that absolutely cares for you, and you're here for a specific reason at a specific time during this crazy time, and he wants you to win. But it's going to require you to set down distractions and phones and let go of what we think is success. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I've been around a lot of extra successful people, and I don't give two junks about that. I want this. I want to hear, you know, how can we co-create and create the best version of ourselves? So that story, I just have never shared on a podcast, but I don't know, God just
So
downloaded
beautiful.
me to share it.
So
So I hope
beautiful.
that you guys get something from that and that you have that opportunity too. A divine door
So
is there for
beautiful.
you.
That is so beautiful.
Thank you.
That's the love of God.
Yes.
That's the love of God.
I just, you know, it's really interesting. My dad was a pastor early in his life. He
I
went on to other
remember.
careers later in life. So I was kind of a like post preacher kid, so I didn't really know him, but my mom says my speaking reminds me of him. But it's really interesting. I have his pulpit Bible, and I also have my stepdad's Bible because I grew up mostly with my stepdad, but I read through them and I get to see how they saw God through their eyes. So they have little notes. And the reason why I bring that up is something that in the last few years has really comforted me. Even with all the science and all the stuff that I do, you guys, to help people shift into powerful states, to help them help, you know, healthy, high perform, to help them engage with their team better, all this stuff, I still go back to there's this spiritual divinity that is in me. And when I really tap into that, it really changes sales calls for me. It changes the people I draw in the next day. It changes the way I speak. There's been times people ask me once, like, how do you prep for a speaking gig? I'm like, sometimes I just look out the window and watch the sunset. That's it. Yeah. Then I just feel so calm. Like, he is there with me. I'm like, God, give me the words, you know?
Yes.
And
Yes.
That's all that I want to do on podcasts like this. I want to, you know, study myself full. Like, what can I contribute to your people? I want to think myself clear. How do I get potent? What are the things that your people need? I want to pray myself hot and then let myself fucking go. Let myself come
it.
Into divinity like this. Like, I don't know. I'm letting myself go on this podcast. I pray before I even go on a podcast. Like, download something to me. If you want me to let go, like, what do you want me to let go? And what do these people need to hear? And God's like, share your story. You've never shared on a podcast. I'm like, really, really? I'm having this conversation in my head as I'm talking with Lucas, just to let you know, you guys. And I'm like, I listen. Anymore, I've learned to respond when God speaks to me, to be really immediately in, you know, dependent on that and obedient in that. And I find that's where the magic happens. And then everything else, all the frameworks, all the science I get to teach gets easy. But when the divine door in your spiritual frequency is present, oh man, you guys, it gets easy to do all the other stuff with you, but you got to be willing to step in, take the opportunity, know that he's going to ask you to dance with him, not always create the miracle. You know, again, I do believe in miracles. I believe in mass healing. Sometimes I just I don't know if it happens as frequently as it did during the Bible days, but I believe in that. But most of the time now, with the era that we are post Christ, you know, I believe he likes to use in a lot of ways and allow lessons and journeys for us to learn things along the way that creates resilience, hope, and strength. So you guys, there are a lot of tools I teach people to really shift in a more powerful state. You mentally, emotionally, physically really show up for yourself and your team and create a better profit and create a better, you know, team engagement. But at the end of the day, what leaders are really drawn to connect with me on, they're like, gosh, I just want to feel good. I want to feel good. A lot of them that come to me have been successful like me. Like, they're like, I'm like, I'm so tanked. I literally don't even want to be, I want to check out.
Right.
Like, you know, and I get it. Like, no one argue. I'm like, I never argue with anybody that comes to me like, Jennifer, I've been successful. I'm like, I get that you've been successful, but do you want to be happy and at peace and love who you are and have the success kind of as a bonus that it doesn't really matter here or there, you know? Man, I've owned homes. I've sold homes. I've owned practices, businesses. I've sold them like literally overnight. I sold my house, my business, and like moved to Colorado because I literally did this because God's like, do it. I'm like, I don't want to do it. Do it. I don't want to. Okay, fine. I'll do it. And I'm like, you know, people are like, why do you do this stuff? I'm like, because he tells me to. I don't have a choice. And if I fight him, it becomes a problem. And then, you know, then I have the resistance and all that stuff. So I've just learned to respond right away. So it's just become a dance for me. And the more I do my spiritual work and my spiritual practice, I realize how much I've even separated over the years, science and spirit, and they're all one and the same, you guys. Science is very much can be explained in a spiritual way, and in spiritual space can also be explained in the science way. And why we ever separate the two, I never knew, you know.
Right.
But there's beauty because I have left and right brain. I grew up more of a science background, and now I'm work more with energetics. And but again, energy is energy. So if you don't want to call it energetics, call it energy. If you don't want to call it that, say the vibe you feel in the room, whatever you want to call it. But I do believe that the spiritual divinity is there, but I also believe spiritual warfare is there too. So you guys, if you believe in good, you have to believe in evil too. It's yin and yang. It's positive and negative charge. It's physics, it's nature, you know? So you gotta appreciate that. And I think if you appreciate that there is a lot of evil stuff going on, it's gonna allow you to get resourceful and find the shield and the armor to navigate this and stay in this divinity we're talking about. Because you guys, at the end of the day, we need you in a high integral spiritual space. Because I'm not going to sit here and, you know, sit with you and say you have to believe one way or the other. You know, I know what I believe, but what I will say, your spirituality, why you're here and communing with whatever you believe is out there is vitally important to you healing mind, body, but also showing up in what's going on out there. period. Okay, it's who we are. It's our spirit. This is why when we die or see someone pass away, we feel they're quote not there. You guys, that's your spiritual truth. I'm an identical twin, and my spiritual path is different than my twins. But at the end of the day, we have to protect that. We have to anchor to it. And again, going back to what we said, being around people that can elevate that in you, that can help believe it for you as you start gaining traction with some tools and moving to a better space, because there's hope. There, even now, there's hope. Find the divine door, find your archangel moment, because it is there. I believe we actually miss them. I believe we actually miss our angels showing up. And they, you know, we're just like, so we're not mindful. We're just so into our phone or whatever. You guys, I've been guilty of that too. This is not a shame or blame. It's just an awareness of understanding that we need to get our head up and connecting like this. And I, no matter how much AI we have out there, there will never be anything like human connection. I'm doing a keynote next month on supercharging your communication through mental health. They're like, well, can you pull an AI? I'm like, I absolutely can. And I'll be saying higher human intelligence will always trump AI. Are you okay with that? And I'm like, but it actually will enhance AI too. And they're like, absolutely. So you guys, at the end of the day, that's what makes us human, is this, what we're doing right now and feeling our vibration, feeling our voice. And if any of you are struggling in mental health and you're really feeling like you just don't want to be here, or at least just having anxiety, depression, hearing our voices is huge. It helped me a lot. Get on the phone. Even it's not about fixing you, just hear someone's voice that you care about. Actually regulates your nervous system. Just understand something that simple. You don't have to pay me thousands of dollars to get a simple tool like that. Like, find someone that regulates your nervous system. Find a sunset. Slow it down. Listen to our voices. Listen to our joy for you, and you'll get that. That's for you too. That it's not for you. You belong. We need you in the world doing great things. And you know, if we can help you with that by our voices tonight, God bless.
Man, that's so beautiful and true. And affirming. And I, as I'm listening to you speak, I think one of the things that I talk a lot about on this podcast are all the institutions crumbling, and they're meant to crumble.
Yes.
One of them that is crumbling is the religious framework that so many people are in right now. And I think that's what's so unsettling. However, what you're talking about, what I fully believe, is that we don't need an institution. We need to step in and believe and recognize God is present in this moment wherever we go, without the form and function of these archaic institutions saying, thus saith whatever.
Right.
That, you know, it's like God is ever present and his love is ever present. And these, I love this concept of these angels that show up everywhere. And, you know, there's so many verses that say, like, I lift mine eyes up and I lift mine eyes up, or Jesus says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And it's like, I always thought it meant like look up into the sky, but maybe for this time, it just means to look up from the device that is sucking you into this black hole existence that.
100%. You know, I have to tell you guys, when I study the Bible more and more, this is why it's rules, it's principles, it's parables. You can take figurative and literally from the beginning of time to now. What you said, I truly believe what you said. This is why I can always look at the Bible and new verse in a different way, because of what you just said. Now maybe it's more look up from your phones versus back in the day, look up from something else when you were learning it was wilder day. And I totally, absolutely believe that there's so much layering and interconnecting of all generations and so many truths that are consistently in there. It's the best leadership book, whether you believe the Bible is truth or not.
100%.
Jesus, I literally, people, like when I do leadership presentations, like, oh my gosh, this is like new wave stuff. Like, where do you get this stuff? Like, Jesus. I mean, they laugh. I'm like, you guys, like leadership principles are in there. I'm like, how do you navigate tough conversations? A freaking parable, a story. It dissipates the pain. It, when you talk about something else, even though you're talking about the situation, it makes them feel safe. Jesus knew how to do that. You guys, like, it's so funny. I'm like, even people that extrapolate leadership books, I'm like, you guys, do you realize that's like totally a principle from the Bible on this chapter? And they're like, no, it isn't. I'm like, say what you want, but that's where I get my stuff. That's what you're saying. And I get so I love it. And there's so many layers to the Bible, and that's why I'm getting more and more into it. And always challenging myself to go back to books, you know, some of my favorites, and see if I see it differently. And even looking at different renditions, like the New Edition versus the King James, you know, it's just you see a different light in that. And I just love it. It just it works so much with the science, honestly, that I work on with people. Like you said, look up from your phone, then I talk about the EMFs from the phone and how it jacks up your brain. Like, you guys, there's so much spirit and science in these principles, and it makes this nice bridge for me when I do keynotes of spiritual space. You guys, I don't even have to necessarily talk about being a believer in my speeches, but people will come up to me and ask if I am because of the way that I speak about science, you know. And that's the greatest compliment you could ever give me, because God is science and spirit, and it's one and the same. So the fact that I can do that, but I agree with you, the Bible is just so brilliantly written. And I think we forget that sometimes. It's like, oh, it's the Bible. I'm like, no, reread it through different eyes. And I agree. There's so much you can get from it at different stages in your life. When I go back, like when I was 10 versus reading Look Up versus now, Look Up. Absolutely. I think there's such brilliance in what you just said, Lucas. So I encourage everyone, no matter if you are, you know, a believer in Christ or that the Bible's true, that it is a great leadership book. It's a great wisdom book. It is a great live by high integrity with just being a good person book. I mean, it's a good book, you know, so
Yes, it
read
is. That's why it was
it.
called the Good Book for so
Right.
long. It's interesting. In the Bible, there's only one verse that talks about man's happiness. And the verse is, "Happy is the man who trusteth in the Lord." So trust is how we feel happy. And I think in this day and age, as I look through all the headlines and everything that's going on, all coming from this device, all
Yeah,
coming from, it's
100%.
not like necessarily people that I work with or in my own house are saying these things. It all comes through this device, talking
100%.
about something that's out there that's coming tomorrow, or it's always this impending sense. But nowhere does it ever talk about, nowhere from these does it talk about the goodness of God. You'd have to really seek it out. Yes, you can find it, but really to look at the birds, Jesus says, "Take no thought for tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Evil in the inversion of live, LIVEEVIL. So take no thought of tomorrow and just enjoy today and look up and bask in all the goodness that is available. It's such a stark contrast from this current that is keeping people unhappy, unwell, depressed, sad, and
And I
that's where I think the message of this podcast is so beautiful, that there is hope despite all of it. There's
yes. And what you just said, like, we hear all the time, be present, be mindful. But another way I look at it when I hear God speak to me about that is, you're already home. You're already there. Now learn how to stay here, because everything you need that I'm going to give you information on to live this life, to get through this hard stuff, is already here. And you guys, one thing, and I want to give you a tool right now, one thing that really helps with your feeling like you're feeling addicted to the phone and the chaos and you just can't get away, like, you know, put your phone in another room and just sit with your feet on the floor, hands on your lap. And this is a five sense activation that I don't want to say forces, but encourages you almost immediately to get present, like you're here. Is a five sense activation technique where literally your hands are on your lap, feet on the floor, and you start with your vision, like what is just in the room you're currently in, just slowly moving your head. And just sensing what your body's feeling as you're looking at things. Whether it be pictures on the wall, that makes me feel good. I see my sister, or there's a light, my favorite light, or there's my book that I was going to read, and what sensations you have in your body. Then go to, what are you hearing? Is there rain outside? Is your heater, you know, going on? Are you hearing the kids scream in the background? You know, is the, you know, the coffee percolating? And then you go to what you smell. Is it the perfume you put on that day? Is it the bad garbage you need to take out? Whatever. Then you go to taste. Then you go to just then sensing the overall body. Like, okay, Do I feel tension in my legs? Do I feel tension in my neck? Maybe if I just breathe through it. You guys, this takes like 5 minutes. And just by doing that, at least for a moment, it's just like breath work. You can't think about something else. That's why breath work, among other reasons, is so powerful, because you can't think about anything else when you're thinking about a sequence of breathing. That's really powerful depending on what you're doing it for. But the five sense activation is really great, you guys. Why I like it sometimes, along with just regular breathing, is it immediately gets you into a present moment, but then it expands all what we call, in a lot of the Chinese medicine, the chakras, the major energy sources in your body, along with being present. So you're breathing, and then you're getting the five senses. It activates these high energy sources through your body. So guess what happens? Your brain and body are like, dude, I'm here, I'm on board, and it feels so good. And you can actually feel higher energy, you guys. You actually start increasing blood flow to your legs, to your brain. You start getting creative ideas. You start feeling more, I hear this all the time, you're like, I don't know why, but just being here, I'm like, I just feel like Jennifer's here.
Yeah.
She is, you guys. And again, when everybody's here and the brain and body are not worried about the past or the future, and it's just here, the irony is everything that's going to happen in the future, you won't have to worry about, because you get solutions when you're here. And everything in the past doesn't matter anymore, because it's not even real anymore if you're right here. And the five sense activation, you guys, I encourage you all to do that. It's a simple technique. If you really struggle right now wanting to grab your phone and feeling anxious about something in particular that you're in the hamster wheel of life on, move the phone out and do this just for 5 minutes. I'm saying an hour, 5 minutes, and you'll find it feels so good. You do it throughout the day, and it creates this nervous system that's calm at least 5 minutes every hour. Then it starts realizing a pattern of normalcy in calm. And then you start getting traction, because in the calm, you start coming up with ideas and motivation. And then you crave to want to do it. Does that make sense, you guys? But I'm telling you, the five sense activation technique, I do it with all my clients when they're in this kind of yuck phase and they can't turn off their brain. It's a great way to kind of pull everything into what we just said spiritually. Remember, science and spirit, you're here. If you're right here, I can work with you, Jennifer. God is saying that to you. And when you do this breath work, you can get right here. They're like, okay, I get it. And you can hear him more. And you can hear the creative idea that divinely, intelligently come through your body in your brain. You guys, it's amazing stuff. There's a lot of things I teach people that take 5 minutes at a time throughout the day, and you're feeling a lot better by the end of the day and not having anxiety about what you're seeing on the news, and half of it's BS anyway.
Right.
But when you get in your present moment, you find the better news and the better places as well, you guys. Everything starts working more effectively because you're here and you're making better decisions and you're coming up with creative options and you're reaching out to better people because you're in a better energy. So you start drawing in people like Lucas, and everything becomes a domino. So start with something simple like that, everyone. Again, a lot of tools I give people to kind of regulate your brain body to be here and feel safe and actually feel empowered are pretty easy. And that's a great one that I'd encourage all of your listeners to do, is a five sense activation technique throughout the day, especially if you're finding you're in this kind of anxiety and fear of no matter what it is. Everyone, it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, the brain just sees that you're saying it's fearful of something.
Right.
And let's just be honest, you guys, research shows 80% of the things that we're afraid of actually don't even happen, or don't happen to the severity that we think is going to happen.
Right.
So even going back to the original part of our conversation, we're like, are you around a lot of people that think it's horrible out there? Yes, there's a lot of junk going on, but 80% of things that we fear end up not happening. The things that do, people still find abundance. We have research of that. So you guys, try that tonight. Use the divine door. Be open to your archangel, but also know God has given people like Lucas, like me, to give you tools to use the science. Okay, because we are human. We are spiritual beings in a physical body, and we need to regulate the physical body, because it's what allows us to be the vehicle to do the things that we get to do, like speak on stage or connect like this. So it's, you know, I don't believe in just being out here, you guys, let God, you know, pray it away. I believe in the power of prayer, but I also believe God wants us to be spiritual beings in a physical body, you know, doing what work in the pavement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And helping others with these tools I'm giving you guys. I can sit there and tell you to pray right now, you guys. And I have some pretty powerful spiritual prayers. I know Lucas does too, but I also believe in giving you guys practical tools that can help during your day as well. Yeah. They're both beautiful when you use them in combination. Spiritual prayer, like praying for your divinity and using tools to pull you into that physical space, game over. You win. You win this game called life, period. I'm telling you, I've seen too many people that I've worked with have had things ripped away from them. Family die, lose jobs, houses burn down, go bankrupt. I've had my own things. I've just mentioned some of them here. And guys, they rise. Why? It's not because they're stronger than you. It's because they get they're divine beings that have the potential with the right tools and the right people. And it sometimes takes one podcast with one spiritual prayer and one story of hope and five sense activation that can send you on your way. It doesn't have to be 20 things, you high performers out there that think you have to do 8 billion things. It does not. Okay. Trust me, I used to be that way. Like, give me all the tools so I can be better in 24 hours. You guys, that's not patience. It takes time, and you don't have to be a high performer at healing. That was my thing, but the oxymoron behind it. Like, I want to be good at like healing myself. I'm like, I'm a recovering people pleaser, perfectionist, high performer. So, and it's ironic that I teach healthy high performance now. You guys, as
Beautiful.
I say, I'm sometimes one step ahead or 100 steps ahead of you guys. I've been in the journey of people pleasing, demoralizing, low self-worth, and I had quote it all. Okay, so none of your superficial stuff impresses me anyway. I want this stuff. All that stuff is extra accolades to me, and good for you.
So good. It's so good. Where, well, first of all, congrats on your second TEDx talk that's
Thank
coming up. That's
you.
amazing.
Thank
That's
you.
amazing.
Thank you.
You have such a beautiful heart to share. And this episode, I'm like, man, I think this was just for me. Like, obviously, everyone's going to benefit that's listening, but this is such a beautiful episode for me and so timely. And my wife, Lauren, needs to hear this episode as well. It's so timely for her. And I'm sure every single person listening. I guess while we're wrapping and before I ask like where people can find you and stuff, what, how do you, how is your view of, and this is probably a bigger question, but how is your view of God and his love changed over time from being in the church box of Sunday school Christianity to what you're talking about now? Because it's such a visceral reality that you're speaking about now.
It's changed a lot. And by the way, I grew up, and it's not like a side tangent, but I grew up in a family that really was deeply spiritual, that loved the Lord. I grew up in a family where we went to church all the time, and I had great parents. I still my two dads are now passed away. My mom is still alive, and I'm so blessed that I grew up in a church where there's great core values. I think there's such beauty in churches, in the right churches that can really help kids develop some really beautiful core values and be around a great environment. With that said, I definitely believe, even in my church and some of the churches you see even more extreme places now, that there are a lot of things that were distorted to me that I saw that money was bad, one thing. So I kept myself broke. I'd make a lot of money in my business, but I felt like I had to give it away, like I couldn't have fun with it. Like I had to really heal that, you guys, and I've healed that over the years. But how I'm like, how am I broke when I made this money? And part of it was my relationship with money and
So
how I
good.
thought it was an evil thing. I grew up in the church thinking that. I also grew up in a church too that if you do one really big sin, whether it be divorce or sex out of marriage, or like you're doomed, like you have to do a bunch of Hail Marys or something, like you were to be kicked out of the church. Sometimes they felt like it was really kind of this grading of sins, so when I had times where I was doing more of a graded big sin, there was a lot of shame and lack of self-worth, though, and I must be a really bad person, that type of thing. I also felt that the church sometimes just influenced more that you had to be kind of perfect, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to have a great life, but you probably will have a great life. And I never saw that. I'm like, I'm trying to do everything perfect, but I'm not having that. I was having depression, so they're like, well, you must not be doing it right. So I got this idea that, again, self-worth, are like, am I not, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to quote be doing, and I'm being the good girl, and I'm not having a perfect life. And I felt like that was really destroyed. That really destroyed me for a while, because I thought, well, am I doing something wrong at a really young age? And also too, it's funny that we brought up another a verse just about how he will guide your path. And if you look at King James, he talks about guiding your path, not setting your path straight. And I thought that if I was a good person, everything was going to be easy in life. that was it would be a straight path, like a
Yes.
perfect path.
Yes.
Versus in King James, it talks about guiding your path. Doesn't mean it's going to be
Yes.
easy. That I took it differently. Like, wow, as an adult, going back to our conversation about rereading verses, researching them for your own. What do you believe versus what you were brought up in? You know,
Great
reading in different.
point.
I
Yes.
think there's so many other different things that I was led to believe. And by the way, my parents were beautiful people. And it was sometimes just me in a school, like a Sunday school lesson, hearing this and taking it in. But being a high performer, you know, a lot of my life, driven, highly motivated, these things that I'm talking about, I took very seriously. So if I screwed it up or something like my life's not going well, what's wrong with me? I had a lot of low self-worth and also some resentment with God. Like, I feel like I'm doing it right, but why aren't things easy? You know, I'm trying not to make a lot of money. I mean, you guys, like, I was bartering sometimes with him and I was like, this sucks. Like, what kind of spiritual space is this? And you guys, Christians need to be freaking rich. Okay,
Yes.
I'm gonna say it again. Christians need to be freaking rich. That is how we move our message for good, using money for good, because there's a lot of bad people out there that are rich that are doing a lot of bad things. We need to be freaking rich. I don't know where we get that. You know, it just because, you know, we talk about, you know, I think we sometimes take verses out of their context when they're more figurative versus literal sometimes too, and they're not talking about
Or and
so
real
riches. Does that make sense? So
well, real
yeah.
quick, and I don't want to interrupt. I
Yeah.
100% affirm everything you just said. The verse is, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes. Yeah.
But they teach, I think we're not taught that correctly. It's and because I've wrestled, I have so many books on wealth and
Yeah.
biblical views of it,
Yes.
all this stuff. And it's like, well, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money and all these things. I am telling you, everyone listening, no matter how much you think you love money,
Yeah.
you don't love money how these evil people love money.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't understand. They love the all they care about, they think nothing of humans,
Yeah.
nothing,
Yeah.
zero. So we feel bad that we want money to like do fulfill our dreams. It's ultimately what we're saying. God, I
Yes.
want my dreams to be fulfilled. Well, what's the energy source to do that? Money. Yes. So then these and I mean there are people that are
Yeah.
so evil. They would annihilate
Yes.
everyone on the earth just for them to like see what it feels like. Or I mean, these are psychopaths that are on the earth. So I affirm what you're saying in that it is good to what we are calling love money is
Yeah.
not the love that that verse is
Yes.
talking about dealing with the most evil.
Yeah.
We love our dreams coming true. How about that? And rephrasing it, and money helps our dreams come true. We love
100%.
being blessed so that we can bless others. We love being happy so we can give a message
Yes.
of hope. We
And
love, all
the
these
thing is,
things.
I think what we hear in the church too, that we're supposed to be miserable. Like we're
Yeah.
supposed to be God there. And that was something that was kind of fed into me too. I'm like, God does not want us to be miserable. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about that. He wants joy for us. He wants us, he doesn't say that life's not going to be hard, but he wants joy for us. He wants us to have abundance
That's
in
right.
relationships, abundance in money. He wants us to come out of the closet with our sins so we can heal and not be shamed by it, by the
That is
church.
right. That's
Whatever
right.
we deem as the worst sin or not. And by
Right.
the way, and you guys, I'm gonna say something that may be a little triggering for you guys, but I'm just gonna go there. Like, I love prayer. I love the power of prayer. I believe that the power of prayer is real. But here's the deal. I also believe a lot of churches default to prayer and don't get down and freaking dirty to help people. Okay. Sometimes God is not asking me, Jennifer, don't pray anymore. I've given you the answer. I'm giving you practitioners to help you heal. I'm
Yes.
giving you da da da. I'm going to teach you patience and, you know, perseverance through all this. And I'm going to help have you help people someday getting on stages because you've
Yes.
been through this. So I think sometimes also as believers in churches, they, you know, do whatever they do in their massive prayers and they're like, yeah, we'll pray for you. And it's like this like little skirt off, but they're
Right.
not willing to actually do the work to lay beside you on your bed. Like, what can I do to support you? Here's a check. Come over for dinner or whatever. So I feel like sometimes We as believers have gotten lazy, and the church has gotten lazy to, oh, I'll pray for you. So when people ask me to pray for them, I absolutely do. You guys, I do. But what else I'll say is like, if there any other way, I'm going to 100% do that. But is there another way I can support you? Do you need me to take something for your kids? I mean, they're shocked, but I'm like, you guys, it's more than that because I don't want that to be a default. And I find that in the church as well. I find that money is not always seen as a beautiful way to create abundance in all areas of your life, that we're supposed to be miserable as Christians, that some sins are worse than others, and that feeds people to depression and suicide, thinking that they're less than instead of being human and joyful. And I also believe that prayer can be used in a non-effective way. And I believe that churches right now, you guys, there's a responsibility. You guys, and churches don't have a great name right now. And that makes me very sad because this should be a place of safety, restitution, healing, forgiveness. And I will say that's okay. God is going to take care of that. I found some churches that I go to that I like, but at the end of the day, you guys find people that you can connect with in fellowship, in pray together, in commune and celebrate our Heavenly Father. That is church as well. So if you're struggling with some of these concepts in churches, that's okay. I'm not here to judge, but know what you need to get your cup filled. And maybe there needs to be a new environment you need to get into if you feel like you can't shift the current quote church, whatever that is to you, where you're at. Because you do need to get fed, you guys. We are in a world right now that there's evil and toxicity, and we need a community that can lift up each other. And if it's a different structural, like physical church, or just being around other people that are your fellowship of church, all of it is that context of God is in and through all of us at all times. And I think that's really important that people believe that, and that we band together on that, and that we break some of these stereotypes of some things that we grew up with, because there's a lot of things that are not truths, and that we need to share that is the goodness of the Bible that gives us so much hope in leadership and abundance and breaking through evil and hard times. I mean, you guys, this is where I get half my stuff besides some of the science and courses I've taken is the things I've literally read in the Bible and have absolutely served me. So if anything else, you guys just know that if you're feeling kind of not in alignment with whatever church is to you, there are other sources out there to help you
Yeah,
get
absolutely.
fed.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's so good. So good. Thank you. This has been so here. Oh, this is good. This is filling my cup up. How can people find, where can people find you? How can people support you, work with you, contact you?
So I'm the most active on Instagram and LinkedIn. So on Instagram, I'm under the Jennifer Watson, and on LinkedIn, it's Jennifer Watson, but there's a lot of Jennifer Watsons there. So I can give obviously Lucas kind of my full link and everything. But yes, I answer all my own DMs. If you guys have questions about this podcast, or interested in learning, deeper yet, how you can get support by me. I believe some of the tools and things we talked about can be very uplifting and start creating traction for you. But you guys, I've had coaches in many areas in my life, most of my life, and I do believe that sometimes we need to go a little deeper to create the support you need. If there's interest there, we can set up a call. I would love to give all your guests, Lucas, just a free three-part video series. It's a breathwork series to help optimize performance and decrease anxiety. So I'd love to give that to
Wow.
you for free to all the people
Beautiful.
that are listening. So
Beautiful. Thank you. I'll put your LinkedIn and Instagram in there on the handle. And so as I'm closing out every show, allow, it's funny we're talking about prayer, but I'd love to pray for you and just thank God for this time. And Father, I just thank you for my amazing friend Jennifer, and her heart, her strength, her love, her passion, and her vision, Lord, for what is possible when we are in alignment with you. And I just pray continual blessings over her, over mind, body, soul, spirit, and heart, over every person who's listening. Lord, I just pray you would baptize us in your love, in your truth, in your goodness, in your beauty. And whatever is not aligned to the highest good and the highest virtue and the highest truth and your highest love, I pray that you would reveal it, that we may let it go and we can release all that no longer serves us, so that we can receive all the beauty, the abundance, and your love that is waiting for us. I thank you for this time. I thank you for my sister, Jennifer. And we say amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Oh,
thank
thank you
you.
so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And everyone, like I said, I'll put Jennifer's contact info in the show notes. And thanks again. Episode 3. This was fun.
Mwah.
What an incredible episode. Everyone, thanks for listening. Thank you for joining on this journey, the Lucas Max Show podcast. I'm going to put Jennifer's links in the show notes. So make sure you reach out to her, you follow her, and just get more of the fire that she was spitting out in this episode. She's an incredibly powerful, authentic, and passionate leader who, as you can hear, loves people. And we need more love. We need your love. Wherever you are in the world, wherever you listen to this podcast, you can make the most positive ripple effect wherever you go, today, tomorrow, wherever you go. It's time for us, the light workers, the light beings, those of us who are of the light, in the light, and for the light, to shine with intention and brightly. And if you're going through a dark period, like Jennifer shared what she's gone through, what my wife's going through, what so many of us have gone through in the past, or we'll go into the future, just know, no matter how dark it is, darkness precedes the light. So hold tightly onto that, dear one. I love you all. I'm sending you love. I'm Lucas Mack. This is the Lucas Mack Show, and I'll talk to you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening. If you're struggling to break free and need support, go to my website at lucasmack.com. There you'll find resources like videos and ebooks, and also information on how to work with me for coaching. Thank you again, and I'll talk to you soon.